for Jason Kelce, 6 times All Pro center, and those all came in the last 7 years of his career. And so just so impressive how well he's played lately. He mentioned this in his press conference, but he never won a single accolade until he got married. And I think that's a lot of what people appreciate about Jason Kelce is I just think the family aspect, you know, we see that in the documentary, just the podcast with Travis and like how close those two are and affectionate they are towards each other.
Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. As always, today is... What is today? Tuesday?
Tuesday,
March 5th. A lot going on. Here's kind of the agenda for the next few weeks. So, a couple weeks from now will be Selection Sunday, so that Monday or Tuesday we'll do our March Madness. We'll go through each of our brackets. We kind of go through the entire thing on that. So, that'll be an in-depth bracket thing. Now, we'll also be posting the links to enter our bracket competition. Winner gets to come on the pod, free to play, so pretty fun there. Next week, we're going to have Kyle Copier on, talk about women's hoops, get ready for that tournament as well. We also have a couple guests in the works, so stay tuned for that. Really appreciate Jonathan Brown coming on last week's episode. Super interesting, talking about, you know, moving from England to the United States, the different cities that he lived in, and things like that. Today we got kind of a smattering of different things to talk about, a little bit of soccer, some baseball. Jason Kelce retired, which is probably what we'll lead off with, and a semi-Jason Kelce-related top five. We do have to start with the ick of the week, of course.
Absolutely we do.
Okay, fellas, ick of the week. If you want to keep your girl, you cannot wake up confused. I'm guilty of that. Maybe that's why I'm still single. I do that. Basically, 80% of the time I wake up. 100% of the time from a nap.
Yeah, from a nap makes sense. I mean, because, yeah, it's just disorienting.
Sometimes it takes you a little bit, though, even if it's, like, regular sleep, to figure out what's going on. Like, what day is it? Were you dreaming or not? You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
So that seems like, yeah, I don't know how long of a phase that is, but.
You can't wake up confused, though.
Good to know.
If you want to keep your girl, you can't wake up confused. Let's start with Jason Kelce, and then we'll just kind of see where the road takes us today. Officially announced his retirement. Not a major surprise. I've heard, you know, a lot of people, it's kind of like when you pass away, everyone's like, you know, singing your praises. A lot of first ballot Hall of Fame stuff for Jason Kelce today.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of that. A lot of greatest center of all time. Which he very may well be. I just am not somebody who knows a whole lot about offensive line play. And I don't think a whole lot of the people saying this is the best center of all time know a whole lot about offensive line play either.
He's probably the most likable center of all time.
Yeah, well, that I think is the thing. I think there's a very good case for most visible offensive lineman in the history of the league. Mm-hmm. Like, really, like, the fact that people are aware of him retiring and notice it. I mean... Because the only, like, you know, Joe Thomas, very famous. I don't think a whole lot, certainly not in pop culture, people were aware of him, right? And the other thing about Jason Kelce is he was kind of in the public eye before Travis started dating Taylor Swift. That obviously expounded it greatly. But just that speech that he gave in 2017 is like, oh, yeah, this dude is just like a Philly dude, you know, like he just fits in with the organization so well.
Yeah, especially in Philly, beloved, of course. My thing is, and this is nothing anti-Jason Kelce at all, but for the people saying, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt, like, I didn't hear a lot of this love. We don't even say that about, like, Lamar Jackson. You know, like, Patrick Mahomes is the only person people are like, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes. Like, yeah. He's not, again, maybe I'm wrong. I don't believe he's the Patrick Mahomes of offensive linemen. He might be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I just think it's just kind of,
yeah.
Or it's like how people say GOAT about 20 different people. Like, greatest of all time means there's only one.
Yes, yeah, we can't all be the greatest of all time. And again, I'm not even necessarily saying that he's not, you know.
Antonio Gates wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Antonio Gates was not. Terrell Owens was not, although that probably had more to do with off-field issues than actual football play. But I will say Jason Kelce.
He's a top five receiver of all time, though.
Right, yeah. But for Jason Kelce, 6 times All-Pro center, and those all came in the last 7 years of his career. And so just so impressive how well he's played lately. He mentioned this in his press conference, but he never won a single accolade until he got married. And I think that's a lot of what people appreciate about Jason Kelce is I just think the family aspect, you know, we see that in the documentary, just the podcast with Travis and like how close those two are and affectionate they are towards each other. I feel like I'm not aware of any brothers quite like that in the NFL. Like obviously the Manning brothers, they love each other. They care about each other, but it's not like, I mean, they're just kind of different people. I think they grew up in different situations, right? Yeah. And obviously the Mannings are hilarious, but I think more of us feel like the Kelces than the Mannings.
Eli is underrated, like, so funny.
Yeah, he can be very, very funny.
Peyton gets the credit, obviously, and Peyton is very funny as well. But Eli is hilarious.
Yeah, those two are like, I don't know how to describe it, but they're like funny. And they're trying to be funny, not in a bad way, you know. But the Kelces are funny, just like by existing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, well, because both the Mannings are quarterbacks and from, you know, the most famous football family in America, and they're a big part of why it's the most famous football family in America.
Yes, no, it wouldn't be without them. So
yeah, like Arch is great. Well, I mean, Archie is great. Arch is the nephew, who we'll talk about here in a little bit for unrelated reasons to what we're talking about now. Kylie Kelce, we gave her a shout-out a few weeks on the show. She's awesome.
Yeah.
I love the fact that she wouldn't wear a Chiefs thing because she was still pissed.
Yes.
While Jason, or Steve, not, yeah, no, Jason, while he was, like, drunk in a Chiefs, like, overall.
Yeah, he's wearing all the Chiefs gear.
And Kylie refuses.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
That is what Philadelphia is about.
No, Kylie's great, for sure.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny that, like, Jason married, like, when I say normal, it's kind of like not a celebrity.
Yeah.
Like,
just like a girl from Philadelphia.
Just a girl from Philadelphia. And Travis is dating the most famous woman in the entire world.
Yeah.
Just super, it's just funny. I wonder what, like, Taylor's like with, like, Jason's kids, if they've met or, like, know who they are or anything like that.
I mean, from all reports, she's very good with all of the little girls.
Yeah, so I imagine she's great. Probably cool for the little girls. Did you see the video or the picture of Henry Cavill? Is that how you pronounce his last name? Cavill? Superman?
Oh, I think Cavill.
Henry Cavill?
Yeah.
So, like, I think it was his teacher didn't, like, she was getting mad at the kid for saying his uncle was Superman. So then Henry had to go to the school with the kid.
Oh, that's funny.
That's probably cool for Jason's daughters. I bet he's a good dad.
Yeah, no, I bet they love it, yeah.
You know, speaking of dad, this is not the best transition in the world, but Arch Manning opted out of EA Sports, the college football, whatever, video game. I don't have no issue with that at all, but the thing that I thought was weird, he said it was so he just focused on football. You know, opting in, I think it takes like 10 minutes to sign some forms. Opting out, there's like, you know, that's all everyone's been talking about. Now, there's not a lot going on, so the media has to talk about something.
Right.
But if he would have opted in, no one would have thought anything, and it wouldn't have, it's not like you have to play the game a certain amount of hours.
Yes, yeah.
Not a big deal. I just thought the reasoning was a little weird.
Yeah, reasoning is a little weird. And, like, I'll always say if this is something that you think will help you, like, if, and it's going to help you because you're going to buy into it, it's good. Like, Michael Jordan would just make stuff up. Like, he would pretend players said things to him that they just straight didn't. But it obviously worked, you know? And so if this somehow is going to help Arch Manning be a better football player, then good for him.
Yeah. I mean, the University, speaking of making stuff up, the University of Florida in that 2004 national championship, they posted newspaper clippings talking about, like, how much better Ohio State was. that they literally just copied, like, made up. Yeah. They just printed off newspaper and just made up stuff on it.
Was it, you know better than me, was it the LSU offensive line coach or the Alabama offensive line coach that, like, that tweeted out that he overheard the Ohio State defensive line talking about how they weren't even going to practice because they're often the offensive line they were going to play was so bad. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but it sounds like it could be any of those schools.
Yeah, like some offensive line coach just tweeted that his own offensive line was garbage from a burner account, but it was like very obviously for like I think he even like forgot to switch the account, so maybe it was from him or something.
That's so funny. I Kirby Smart, was it 2 years ago? He was saying like how no one in the media believes in us and everyone's bashing him. And everyone's like, you've had the number one recruiting class like 3 years in a row and the preseason number right. one team.
Yeah, what are you talking about? They've been ranked number one for like 4 years.
It's just so unbelievable. Do you remember, this is like one of my favorite tweets of all time, but Josh Jacobs tweeted something about, you know, like no one believed in me and here I am. This is something like that. And then someone responded like, You went to Alabama and were a first-round draft pick.
I don't know. I mean, that really seems... Like, I don't know if that's been a motivating factor for you in your life, and obviously we're not, you know, in the NFL and stuff, but I feel like it helps me when people believe in me.
Yeah, well, our high school football... By our, I mean, like, our schools, but, like, me. Like, I feel like he kind of instilled that, like, I don't know one person from Highland High School, and I hate them so much.
Yeah.
Just because of, like, our football coach, like, instilled that. I know why I don't like Olympus High School.
It sounded like you were going to get
good. Oh, I go into it. Well,
no, you don't have to.
No, like, but, like, we knew that was, like, the next door school to us, so, like, we knew a lot of those kids. Ironically, a lot of them were our friends in college, but, like, in high school, they're kind of, you know, like, the rich, stuck-up, like, arrogant kids.
Yes.
Highland didn't know one person. But to this day, hate them just because our football coach had that, like, mentality that they somehow
just put that
offended us. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. But that's funny. No, so it's very, like, it honestly took me a little bit after football to, like, kind of get out of that mentality. And I think it still kind of comes up a little bit where, like, everyone hates you and you have to, like, prove yourself or, like, be better than them. Like, I think I still have that just ingrained in me a little bit. Where you like just kind of feel slighted for no reason.
Right, yeah. And so, I don't know. And I mean, I think in a sport where you got to make yourself do things you don't want to do, you got to make yourself hit people, you know, a little bit of anger is probably good.
You do, because you literally have to make yourself hate them. So you got to sometimes make stuff up for that.
Yeah, and so.
Now, Michael Jordan obviously did that. What's, I think, impressive about Kobe Bryant is he didn't necessarily have that. He just had the psychotic work ethic. But it wasn't necessarily because, like, of a not competitive, but it wasn't like Michael Jordan psychotic. It was a different.
Yeah, no, it was like, no, I don't think that anybody in any field has had, like, the focus that he's able to have.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, not in basketball stuff, when he left basketball, he published like 4 or 5 books, and he did the film shorts. Like, he like literally won an Oscar, and so he could just make himself do stuff in a way that just the human brain isn't really built to do.
No, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, like when all these players say they've got the Mamba mentality, it's like there was one person who had the Mamba mentality.
Yeah,
you know,
I love the. My favorite, I don't want to buy my favorite because there's so many good ones, but two Kobe things that are popping up are, well, first the one where he's like, they were in like maybe New York or Miami or something, so like the players were going out, and he's like, well, I'll go out with you if you work out with me at 5 a.m. So like they went out, like were drinking and stuff, and then Kobe knocked on the door at like 4:30 and made him like hungover go out to the gym and like, you know, start do conditioning and stuff. Because he's like, we're here to work, so you can do all this stuff. Like, Michael Jordan did all that stuff, but it didn't get in the way of the basketball.
Right, yeah. No, he just... Yeah, and, like, physically a body shouldn't be able to go out all night and then go to the gym at 4 in the morning, but his could.
That's what I don't get about Kobe or, like, Jimmy Butler. Like, don't they need to sleep? When do they sleep?
I don't know. Like, I guess... They've got to be taking naps that they're not telling us about.
They have to, but don't...
Like, Kobe, maybe not.
Isn't eight hours of sleep, like, better for your body anyway? Like, the circadian rhythm or whatever?
Well, yeah, especially, like, if you're an athlete, that's when your body does the muscle regrowth and
like,
all that.
I heard LeBron sleeps, like, 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
Or a night, like, consecutively or whatever.
Right, which is why, you know, like, we've literally never seen somebody be this good of an athlete as this old of a person. And I think it's because of the sleep, because of all the cryo chamber, just everything he's doing, like we're seeing the effect. Like, I don't think the effect was it makes him a better basketball player. I think the effect is he's going to be able to play till 45 if he wants to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I saw someone, Nick Wright, I think made this point. Nick Wright's a huge LeBron guy, but he said LeBron's unarguably the best young player in NBA history and unarguably the best old player in NBA history.
Oh, for sure.
And he's like arguably the best, and he thinks he's the best, obviously, which we'll kind of talk about. But at, you know, 19 or whatever, comes into the league and takes a bunch of, you know, people from the street to the NBA finals. And now you got 40,000 points. That's unbelievable. Like, no one talked about that. Like, passing Kareem was very impressive. I don't feel like we're talking about the 40,000 points enough. No one's ever done that.
Yeah, and that literally is, like, that's not even a scoring stat. I mean, obviously it is, but that's just a longevity stat.
Yeah. No, it's so impressive.
Yeah.
One thing that, the LeBron and Michael Jordan, it doesn't bug me, but it's kind of like, who cares? Like, they're just both so good, you know?
Right.
Now, no one talks about LeBron like they do Michael, as far as, like, you know, players or people who saw both. And me and you weren't cognizant of Michael in his prime. We were alive, but...
We're like two.
But it is hard for me to imagine anyone's been better than, like, LeBron in, like, 2010 or 2013, like that.
Yeah.
Like, late Cleveland, early Miami. Like, he was just so good. Like, those finals in 2014 where he lost, we've talked about this a lot. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
On a losing effort, which wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that I think is so crazy about LeBron and how many points he scored, like, a lot of people have pointed out that he passed Michael Jordan in minutes like 7 or 8 years ago or whatever it is, which is obviously legitimate. But he, for so much of his career, has been pass forward, try to get other guys involved, you know, and he has just so many more assists than I think anybody else on that list. He obviously takes over the scoring when he needs to, but his goal has been to pass and get his teammates involved more than anybody else in the top 20 in that list,
yeah,
the top 30 in that list.
No, no one's ever had more pressure on him. Like, in definitely the NBA, maybe any sport. Bryce Harper would be the only other person who's been, you know, like, coronated that young. And I would say Bryce Harper's not as good as LeBron is in their respective sports, but Bryce Harper is still a fantastic player who I would say also kind of lived up as much as he could have.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, that was a really interesting. Yeah, really interesting seeing him in, like, college and coming out as young as he did. Like, we haven't really. And, like, the Wemby thing is sort of the same, and there's definitely never been as many expectations, but we kind of just found out about Wemby like 2 years ago, right? Like, people were watching LeBron's high school games, you know, and I'm sure this is not true for people in Europe, but in America, it just isn't the same because nobody watched him until the preseason.
Did you see Ramona Shelburne's comments on Wemby?
No, I did not.
I don't think this was, like, official reporting from Wemby. It sounded like she was just kind of the vibe she was picking up.
Yeah.
So, take that for what you will. But she was saying, like, you know, he's here, he wants to win. She's not sure how long he's going to wait around for the Spurs to figure it out. It's like, he's a rookie. Can we just take a breath for 1 second?
Yeah. I mean, he's literally been there for, like, 50 games.
No, yeah, literally. And he's coaching under Greg Popovich, arguably the best coach in NBA history. At worst, top 5 coach in NBA history.
Yeah.
Like, can we just relax before we're trying to, like, get him to force his way to a new team? And I'm not saying that's what Ramona was saying. She was probably, like, quoting that or, like, maybe kind of what she was feeling or hearing. So I'm not saying she was trying to get him, but
That's a comment for the media in general.
Exactly, yeah. So not on Ramona specifically, but she's just where I heard it from on NBA Today on ESPN.
Yeah. It will be really interesting because, you know, they used to, not a ton, but occasionally, like LaMarcus Aldridge went there because he wanted to play under Popovich. He was from Texas, you know. And so they could get free agents. I think a struggle with him in getting free agents is that it's hard to imagine Popovich coaching longer than 5 years, you know? And so, you know, you're going to get some people on a 2-3 year deal maybe that are excited to play with Wemby, but it's going to get really uncomfortable because they're not going to know when Popovich is going to leave and who's going to replace him.
Yeah. Wemby does seem like one of the few, like, young players. Like, LeBron's always trying to get vets in, you know?
Yeah.
He does seem like one of the few young players who veterans would want to play with.
Yeah, well, just, you know, I think that anybody that good defensively, like, I don't understand why people don't want to play with Rudy. Like, it just feels like having that good of a defensive player behind you would be such a great thing.
You think so?
And then Wemby is obviously, you know, a lot more skilled than Rudy offensively.
Oh, yeah.
And so
it is, like, his highlights are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I want to see him in San Antonio. Like, I want to see, because when we were growing up, Kobe was in L.A., Steve Nash, well, I mean, was in Dallas, but really was in Phoenix, Dirk was in Dallas, Duncan was in San Antonio with Ginobili. There were, like, rivalries. I'd love to see Wemby stay in San Antonio and, like, have these players, like, you know, build the teams. I know that's unrealistic now.
Uh-huh.
But I like that idea. Like, I thought the NBA when we were, like, growing up was awesome because, like, Dirk was on the Mavericks for, like, 15 years. Tim Duncan played for the Spurs forever.
Yeah. You know, yeah, bring back to Jason Kelce. You know, he said in his press conference one of his goals was to be on a team for his whole career because that's kind of how things were growing up. And, yeah, so it is fun when people are on a team for that long.
That's so rare because, A, you have to want to do that. B, the team has to want you.
Yeah. No, and yeah, it's not like it really only works with stars. And like even then, you know, like Charles Barkley played for three teams when he was a good player, you know. And
yeah.
So it wasn't even like it was not like this back then at all. You obviously had people moving and getting traded and stuff. But yeah, no. It would be fun to see him for however long in San Antonio. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was gonna say. I wonder if Jason Kelce's going to do, like, coaching or, like, more media stuff or just hang out. Like, just do the podcast and hang out and be fine.
Yeah. He'd be very good at media if he wants to do it.
He would be.
Yeah. I think he'd be a good coach, but I think that somebody is going to try to pay him a lot of money to be a studio guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they'll probably throw a lot of money at him. He'd be great. Now, I have the top five. I'm trying to think. There's one other thing I was going to bring up that I can't really remember. So it must not have been, like, crazy important.
Yeah, we can get to it next week.
Okay. Are you ready for the top five?
I'm ready to go.
It's Jason Kelce related.
Okay.
Which gives you a hint. It's the top five rudest cities in America. So this is for locals. This is according to Preply.com. So do with that what you will.
Preply.com. Okay.
We surveyed 15,000 residents of the 30 largest metropolitan areas.
And this, they would say, like, we are the rudest or this other people?
I think it'd be more like, you know, how they're interacting. So, yeah, it'd be based on, like, you're interviewing someone from this city's not on the list, but, like, Omaha, Nebraska. It'd be about other people in Omaha, not
anywhere yeah. else. I see. Okay. Well, see, that's interesting because I know I am going to say Philadelphia, but I am inclined to think that people in Philadelphia like the way that they are and they like each other. I think they would say they're rude because they like that reputation.
Yeah.
So
that is number one is Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Which I would agree with.
Yeah. I mean, Boston has to be on there.
Boston's five, which I would have put higher.
Okay.
A close number two.
Yeah. New York would definitely rate themselves as very rude.
They're number three. That's my top three is Boston, New York, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'd throw New Jersey in there. Just that whole area.
Okay.
Yeah. But the other two I'll say are little. I wouldn't have guessed them.
Okay. But they are the 30 largest metropolitan.
Yeah, so it's not like Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, like they're big cities.
Yes. Okay.
Well, every time I give you a hint, I feel like it hurts you, so I don't want to say too much
more. Okay. What about as a wild card, Las Vegas?
Number four.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got to go number
two. Yeah.
How about Dallas?
Not Dallas. They are, well, Fort Worth is the number three most polite city.
Oh, interesting.
And Dallas, Texas is the 15th.
Yeah, everybody in the South actually is going to say Southern manners and stuff.
Now, I will say this is a city in the South. It's not, well, I'll say that. It's in the South. I can give you another hint.
Okay.
You've been there. I'll say that.
Okay.
This, I would not guess this.
What about New Orleans?
Not New Orleans. I think the worst drivers in the country are in New Orleans.
And it's just small, and I wasn't driving there, but I imagine some one-way streets.
It's tough, yeah.
In the French Quarter.
It is tough, and they are not very patient.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are going to say I'm a bad driver, but it was them.
Well, it's just like their way of driving is just different than ours, you yeah. know? Okay, so not New Orleans. I mean, I've been to the airport in Atlanta. Yeah, it could be Atlanta. Yeah, I'll guess Atlanta with my last guess.
Not Atlanta.
Okay.
Memphis.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I could see that. Memphis is cool. I like Memphis.
Yeah.
Those were the best ribs that we had.
Central barbecue. Yeah, very good.
Those were really, really good. Yeah. No, Memphis is a cool place.
Memphis was cool. It would have been cool to be there a little bit longer, but I enjoyed the time we were there.
Yeah, we went to the hotel where Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, and we ate ribs, and that was it.
Great. We went to Graceland. Kind of. Loosely.
Oh, is that in Memphis?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it was closed when we went there, so we just kind of drove past it.
Saw the, yeah. It is cool, like, about Tennessee, the three main cities, you know, Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville, are very different.
Just, yeah, totally different places.
Yeah, it's like three different states.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yeah, because, like, Provo and Salt Lake are different, but they're not that different.
It's Utah, yeah. No, Memphis and Knoxville literally could be different countries.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right.
Beautiful, though. Driving through Tennessee was just like, oh, I'm in the South. Like, it's kind of just like what you think of when you think of the South from a geography perspective, like the trees and the hills and everything like
that.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, Tennessee's a cool place.
Very pretty.
So, yeah, shout out to all our Tennessee listeners.
Roy Williams, man. I love how he just, like, goes to, like, all the games.
Yeah. Just to... decided they didn't want to coach anymore. Was like, yeah, I'm still going to hang out.
Because Walker Kessler sucks, but he still likes the guys. So he wanted to go cheer him on.
Yeah.
Is this like
the senior game or something?
Yeah, because the next game is at Duke, which is the last game of the year.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, this is senior day.
I forget. It doesn't. I mean, I know we're in March. It just doesn't feel like. Also, I've been watching this, and it feels like everybody on the team has been there for like 3 years, which feels like 10 years in college basketball.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why I think North Carolina can be pretty good. So, RJ Davis and Baycott are both seniors, both, you know, all ACC-type players.
Uh-huh.
Caleb Love would have been a senior if he stayed. He's in Arizona doing great things as well.
Yeah, why? Did they give him some NIL money or something, or what's the deal?
So, you know what I heard, and I'll say this is not like a first-person source story, but just like what I heard happened.
Yeah.
Is him and RJ Davis were like dating the same girl, and it caused some friction. Which is why last year wasn't, like, great.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And dating even might be a stretch. But I heard, like, one girl, like, they're both, like, talking to the same girl. And that caused some of the problems.
Yeah.
That, again, that's just what I heard. And that's the only thing I've heard that makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's not official.
Yeah, because it was crazy last year that they did as poorly as they did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, got to come up with an explanation somehow.
No, I think they got as good a shot as anyone. Now, again, next week we're going to do the women's basketball of Kyle Kopier. 2 weeks will be Selection Sunday, so we'll go through our men's brackets, you know, each and every game. But North Carolina and Harrison Ingram, this guy transferred from Stanford, they're going to be hard for me to pick against. UConn, you know, has to be the favorite, of course, but and there's a lot of good teams, but North Carolina has a lot of what you typically want in a team.
Yeah.
Experience, you know, talent, you know, guy who can take over the game, shooting. So,
yeah, I'm really excited. Like, this just kind of has the air of being a really, really kind of magical March Madness year.
Excited, yeah. And the Duke game Saturday, obviously, is going to be big.
Yeah.
And it is, I will say, shout out to Kyle Filipowski. So he got, after the court storming incident, looked like he was, you know, could have been hospitalized for weeks, might have needed surgery. But he bounced back pretty quick. Was able to survive that scare. So kudos to him.
Good for him.
For his resilience.
Yeah.
Appreciate everybody listening. Again, 5-star review, subscribe rate, all that good stuff. Couple big guests coming up that we're working on. And we'll talk to you guys next week.